Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, this week, we're going to come back strong, just like we did the last 2 weeks, talking about where we're at financially, where we're at physically, emotionally, right in the middle of this COVID virus thing. In the beginning, I identified six areas of interest, actually five, but I've called them six now, that I think that we need to keep our finger on. The first one is health. Second one's food / supplies. Income, security, and our investments. So we've been, you know, reviewing these each day, and I will continue to bring data, information, opinions, what we see happening going on out there. And the other thing I'm trying to do that I'm hoping is helpful is just be a calm voice in the storm. I cannot believe what the two different sides of the argument out there, CNN, Fox, are arguing back and forth. And it's like CNN is just making stuff up to create unrest. And, you know, like I said, I'm a libertarian. I'm kind of in the middle of a lot of different things. I'll watch some stuff on, you know, CNN. They did a deal the other day where, what was his name, Ferraric or something like that, was talking about how this was affecting the whole world and, you know, really the impoverished countries. And he made a bunch of points that I actually said, you know what, I could agree with that point. There's nothing wrong with that point. But he wasn't just sitting there and doing what everybody else was doing, which is every one of them on CNN is just coming up with, but what could we have done quicker? Well, really, we're doing everything we could possibly do. Everybody is doing everything they can possibly do as much as they possibly thought should be done. And to point fingers and blame is ridiculous. And the reason it's ridiculous is because you can hash this thing up, you can slice this thing up any way you want to, and you could blame anybody you want to. So the reality is, why do it? But you have to understand that as much as you can say, okay, the Republicans did this, well, guess what the Democrats did? They did stuff too. And quite honestly, I'll just mention a couple of them. Why are the three highest death rate states democratically run states? Now, you can come up with whatever angle you want to come up with, couldn't you? I'm not even going to make an angle for it. I'm just saying, you want to fight? Hey, guys, they got stuff to fight about all day long. What point I'm trying to make is none of that fighting back and forth is doing anything to help us, the average American out here going through this thing, right? And so I just get tired of hearing it. So I'm going to try to be somewhere in the middle on this stuff. I don't really care to point fingers as to who the fault is. I just really want you to be aware of what is actually going on. So I've taken and, you know, researched this stuff, and I continue to research. I got some really good people researching some stuff, too, in my company. My company's basically become I'm trying to think of the right word term for it. We've become a satellite of information for tens of thousands of people that are trying to figure this thing out. And the amount of information that's flowing back and forth is unbelievable. Some of my staff are working, I would say, 22/7. I mean, 22 hours a day. I don't know if they're very even sleeping because I'm seeing people getting calls and emails at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. We had our staffs up the other day until after midnight because they said that that's when you could apply for these loans, these assistance loans, right? And so everybody stays up all night long, fills out all this stuff. And then the next morning we wake up and they say, pooey, pooey, hooey, pooey. None of those loan applications even work. We're changing the rules. Start over. And, you know, you just got to think about how that drains on people. That, you know, your boss asks you to pull this off for you, get it done, get that application in. And then the next morning calls you or emails you and said, hey, everything you did last night, thanks. But no thanks, it doesn't work, right? So I guess the first thing we look at here today is we got to talk about health. How are you feeling? Well, let's start with the country. How is the country feeling? Today, in fact, yesterday was the first day that they came out and said, okay, the number of deaths in New York City declined. I looked at the numbers they put on TV. I think it went from 600 and some people dying a day down to 590 people a day. But it's the first time that it has declined. The number, the actual number of people dying per day declined. And now they're saying, okay, we don't want to be too optimistic. That might mean we've peaked and we're going back down, or it might mean we've hit a plateau and we might stay up here losing 600 people a day for weeks. We don't know. So, obviously, I don't know. I'm not a statistician, nor am I a doctor, but I'm just telling you what they're saying. But what I will share with you is my opinion, is that we had a discussion, my wife and I, this morning or yesterday, I can't remember when it was, where I said, how long do you think we're going to be stuck in the house? How long is this going to go on? And she said, maybe 3 more weeks. And I said, no, I'm going to beg to differ with you on this one. The way I see it is this. New York is well ahead of us. And it took them weeks and weeks and weeks to get up to this pinnacle. So if they come off of it, do you think people all just stop dying immediately? I don't think so. I think there's a downside. And as long as there's a downside where there's still sick people out there that are dying, they're still going to want us to stay inside so we don't heighten the curve. In other words, what they're saying is, what I'm saying is, what they wanted to do by us all staying home was break the curve, flatten the curve. Well, if we've done that, we finally broke the curve, going back out in public is going to release it again and let the curve go back up. Now, by the way, this leave all the argument till we need to get the government open, we need to get everybody back to work. This has nothing to do with that argument or that logic. I'm just saying, what do you think's really going to happen? Now, you look at it behind that, now Louisiana's got people dying fast. And of course, you've got California and Washington State that people were dying fast in before. And so the question is, how long does it take for those states to get all the way up to the peak? Then you come in, you look at the states that are not in the top 10, right? There's 50 states. There's 5 of them right now that are the worst cases. And then there's 45 other states. So if it takes 3 weeks or 4 weeks to get these bad states in and out of the peak, what happens to the rest of the country? Do you think that they're just not going to get sick? That it won't hit every other state? Ah, logic comes in and says, but wait, if we're all not touching each other, then maybe it won't be as bad in the other states. Maybe we'll break the curve before we even create the curve. And that would be nice. But again, how long before they actually realize or believe they broke the curve? And at this point, we don't have that information. And that's why I'm saying, I'm thinking it's 2 months. I'm thinking it's 1 more month for all these other states to catch up and get sick. And then 1 month for them to break their curve and come back down. In other words, I'm saying, in my brain, it's a minimum of eight more weeks. Now, they've set us up with 8 weeks. Well, actually, they've set us up with 14 weeks of unemployment. They set us up with 8 weeks worth of payroll protection plan, where they're going to lend us the money for 8 weeks worth of payroll. In many cases, not all cases, that's something we'll cover later. That's a bit of a tricky situation right there, but we'll come back to it because I've got a lot of detailed information on that. But the bottom line is everything is looking to be about 8 weeks, right? So the question is, what happens 8 weeks from now? And now we get into the problem with income, food, supplies. When we come back, we'll talk about how this is all going to be affected. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for 29 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they have won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 12 of the last 12 years. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing where we think we're at in this COVID virus environment right now. In the first segment, we talked about the health of the country and came up with a prediction, my prediction, that we're in this thing for at least 8 more weeks. And where does that leave us now for the other 4 categories, which would be food and supplies, income, security, and investments? So we'll work our way down the list. The next one is food and supplies. I've, like most of you, felt like I've gone to the grocery store more times in the last 2 or 3 weeks than I've ever gone in my entire life. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I do it simply because it's the only legal thing I can do to get out of the house, which may be the case. You know, you go there and now I'm seeing people wearing masks there, which I hadn't up until just yesterday. Now people are wearing masks. So I guess they've decided that that does work or whatever. But the bottom line is the supplies. As I get in there, what I'm finding is that the only things that you really can't get your hands on right now, and I cannot find them anywhere, and my wife has looked online for them and can't find them online, are cleaning supplies. There's no bleach. There's no hand sanitizers. There's no bacterial wipes, you know, like the little cloths you use that kill all the germs that you wipe with. Masks. We've found some masks, but of course we're trying to find some of this stuff for our apartment complexes, right? But we're just not finding it. In fact, some other members have told us that they ordered some, but it took 2 or 3 weeks to get the stuff, so they must have ordered it right when the beginning of all this started. But those kinds of supplies are really hard to come by. Interestingly enough, though, everything else is pretty easy to get. And it's weird, and this is one of the things I wanted to cover today, if I could, just a short bit on, and that is we may never be the same after this event is over, because I know that myself in the last 2 years have completely changed as a shopper, as a person who buys things. And in the past, we used to go to places and let salesmen sell us stuff. If you think about that, you would go to a automobile dealership and some cigarette smoking fool would pop out from behind the car and not tell you the price. They would want to take you in the back room and riddle you and close you and whatever. And that stuff just doesn't happen anymore. I mean, you buy anything and everything you want, including a car, over the internet, and they will bring it to your house. So what does that mean? Well, for one, that convenience is important. But I think in addition to the convenience, the reason that it's so important to people as far as buying their food and supplies is that you can now price shop. Whereas before, you went where you had to go. You go down to Jake's grocery store down here in the corner, and Jake was charging you, you know, twice what anybody else was charging for that stuff. You didn't know. I mean, you had what was there. But nowadays, you can price shop everything. And interestingly enough, in the old days, quality wasn't even a discussion. In other words, you didn't know how good something was. You saw advertisements on TV saying how good things were. And so you bought based on advertising and marketing. People are not buying based on advertising and marketing. I don't think people even watch marketing. In fact, I don't know how TV commercials are even worth it anymore for someone who advertises that way, because people don't watch them. They have VCRs. We just record everything and shoot right by all the commercials. I don't even see how it works anymore. But whatever, that's another topic. It's along the same lines, though, that, hey, people are now going online and checking out the quality of the product by looking at the comments. So as business people ourselves, what we've found here over the last 2 years is that at this day and age right now, you have to have an online presence. You have to have control of what your customers are saying about your business. They are now your salespeople, or they are your detractors, one of the two. So with the convenience of being able to have it delivered right to your door, that's going to send a lot of traffic a certain way. And then you go to the fact that you can find out the quality of it before you ever get it. That's going to go a certain way. And the fact that they'll let you send 99% of this stuff back, because you're buying it sight unseen. If you don't like it, you just put the sticker on it and send it right back. I think you're going to see a lot of businesses that are, what do they call, storefront businesses, are going to go out of business. Now, I know myself, at certain times, I just go to stores. During Christmas time, you want to go in and look at all the stuff and piddle through it. But that's not even fun anymore. And the reason it's not fun is because I've noticed that you've got the Thanksgiving stuff in the stores right after school lets out. You've got, you know, Christmas stuff in the stores before Halloween's even over. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're seeing these things. In other words, they are actually, by the time Halloween is here, all Halloween stuff is gone. It's not only sold, 90% of it's sold. What isn't sold, it's gone. They're taking it out. It won't be there the day of Halloween. You can't go out Halloween day and pick something up. It's gone. And the same thing comes true with Thanksgiving, and the same thing's coming true with Christmas. By Christmas Day, there's no Christmas stuff left in the stores. It's gone. They've taken it out. And they're on to the next holiday, right? They're on to the next holiday. So it's not even like you get to go shop in Christmas time anymore and shop for Christmas stuff. You've got to decide you're going to shop for Christmas stuff way back during Halloween. And that really kills the fun of the experience of going out to these stores. So if they kill that experience, right, that's even more reason why the storefront businesses are going to go out of business. And if these storefronts go out of business, how does that fundamentally change our entire society? Less and less connection with each other, right? Human connection will become less. What else happens? Transportation goes down. The amount of gas used. I mean, gas is the cheapest it's ever been. I remember when I was a kid, I was going to high school, and they said there's only 20 years of oil left. 20 years of oil left in the world. And now there's 100 years of oil in almost every state in the country. There's 100 years of oil in Saudi Arabia. There's 100 years of oil in Alaska. There's 100 years of oil in the Gulf. Russia's got 100 years of oil. Guys, where did they come up with there's only 20 years of oil? And I think situation now is that it's basically going to get less and less use because of the transportation. Now, maybe that just shifts and it becomes delivery transportation, and so it uses the same amount. But the desire for you to get up, load yourself and all your kids in the car and go traveling around and buying stuff, I mean, even at the grocery stores now, I see people, they come out, they bring the groceries to you. You call ahead or you email, or you get online, order your stuff, drive your car there, call in, boom. They walk it right out your car and put it in your car. Yes, friends, the world's a-changing. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Get total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. 29 years ago, Dell Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Dell has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the five ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Dell Walmsley.
Welcome back to Dell Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about where we're at here in the COVID virus environment that we're living in, and we're talking about health, food, supplies, income, security, and investments. And we're on to income right now, and as we see our situation, let's talk about a couple different things. Number one, the savior to this whole thing might be unemployment insurance. However, I've not seen anybody getting it yet. So I'm looking forward, if anybody out there is getting unemployment insurance or has known that their tenants or somebody else out there starting to get unemployment insurance, let us know. Contact me at askdell@luinc.com. That's askdell@luinc.com. And by the way, any questions you might have or comments, go ahead and feel free to contact me, because we're trying to keep the knowledge base moving around and round and round. So unemployment, they've lengthened it and they've increased the amount you can get. If it gets out there, it could be a major, major benefit towards getting through this whole big giant program. Now, let's go to the next thing, the Paycheck Protection Program. This, so far, has not paid dividends for anybody yet. What do we see so far? They started last Friday saying we could apply. Then they came back and said, nope, that's wrong. We don't even know how to do it yet. By Monday, they had some banks were starting it, like Bank of America had already started to let people sign up for it, right? But with that sign up, I guess that's today. Today's Monday. So with the sign up, that's how short these days work for me now. It's bizarre. But they're letting people sign up and they're sending them documents of what you need to go find and telling them how to do this. But they haven't got anybody into the system yet. They've got your name and they're sending you documents telling you what you're going to need to fill out and what documents you're going to need to get back to them. Other places like Wells Fargo hasn't even started the program yet. So there's major banks out there that have not even figured out any of this and has even tried to. And I'm beginning to wonder if they even want to. I kind of think they don't want to make these loans, to be honest with you. I think these loans are going to be a pain in the butt for them, and government's paying them to make the loans. There's commissions on the deal. But I'm getting a little weary that it's just not something they want to do. They don't want to be strapped with all that cash outflow to these businesses and be tied to these businesses, try to collect from them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see if that changes, if they start making this stuff available. But I've seen nothing so far of anybody benefiting from this. So remember, we've got to go through a couple more stages here. We filled out the application a couple times. They told us it was wrong. Then they said, well, they don't know what to do. And the last argument that's come up is, and this one's kind of interesting, I think, the argument is we don't know how to underwrite this. In other words, even though Bank of America is taking applications, what is the needs necessary to get you a loan? Because they're asking you, how much money have you lost? But you haven't lost any money yet. As a business person, I haven't lost any money yet. Now, there's potential for us to lose money, right? There's potential that our tenants stop paying us money and we lose money. But we haven't lost any money yet. So this payroll protection dealie, although it's saying, what have you lost? It's asking you to come up with a number of what you lost. There is no losses, and it's saying, go ahead and fill it out anyway, because we're really going to give you 2.5 times what your payroll is. So it's very ambiguous. I mean, on one hand, the guys in the government that want to say they did something great are saying, we're giving you 2.5 times your payroll. But the banks are going, but there's no need. If these people don't have any losses, what are the needs? How do we underwrite the needs of the program? And is this a needs program, or is this just an open-handed gift to every business person out there? That's the challenge. So the next level of challenge is, if it is truly just a payroll protection program, and the idea is to give you 2.5 times payroll, so over the next 8 weeks, we run into that 8-week thing again now, over the next 8 weeks, you have to be able to fund all your payroll with that money. Use it all, and all of it used, and they're saying 75% of it used, but you know, the more the merrier, towards payroll. And if you do that, then they're saying they will forgive that loan. So now the bank's going, but we got to forgive a loan. We're going to go through all the trouble to make a loan, and then you're just going to forgive the loan? Why even go through the process of making the loan if you're just going to forgive the loan 8 weeks from now? And then what happens if after 8 weeks we haven't come out of this thing, and now they're just going to not give any more money, and everybody's going to go broke, and then who's going to forgive all those loans? If we all go broke, nobody's going to pay those loans back. Now, they're saying they're willing to forgive them, so maybe they don't care. All I can say to you is this. Sitting on the outside looking in, they have no idea what they're doing. They have not thought this through at all. You know, the president and his staff keep saying, you know, anything this big is just never something this large has ever been put into process, and that's why, you know, it's going to take some time. In fact, it's amazingly fast how quickly we're getting this through, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I'm telling you, on the street, we're not seeing that money yet, guys. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, we haven't lost anything yet, but we're not seeing the money on the street. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty here. Let's talk about apartment complexes. You need to understand something about apartment complexes that the government people don't. They have no idea what they're talking about when they get into this thing. And they're saying, okay, we're going to cover your payroll so you can keep your people working. And then they're saying, okay, we're going to have a forbearance on your mortgage. If you have a government-backed mortgage, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, any government-backed mortgage, we're going to give you, if you want, you can apply for and get a 3 months forbearance, meaning, okay, you don't have to pay your mortgage for 3 months. What they don't understand is that the mortgage is only 75% of the cost of operating a property. At best. So even though you forgive that mortgage, you've still got all these other costs. But what they've done is they've said, if you have one of these mortgages and you take forbearance, you can't evict anybody until the mortgage is paid back. So how do you pay it back? If you're letting tenants live there and you're not allowing eviction, and tenants know that you can't evict them, so they stop paying, how do you ever pay back the forbearance amount of money where they've said, okay, you don't have to pay 3 monthly payments. Now you have to pay your regular payments plus make up these 3 payments. How do you do that if your tenants aren't paying? And your tenants know that as long as you have the forbearance in place, they can't be evicted. So the answer is, it isn't going to work. You're going to put people out of business. Now, what we've done is we've taken a survey of 100 of our apartment complex owners and had them fill out the survey as to where are they at, because I wanted to, there's a lot of data here that's very important to get across to you. It's important data because it's going to show you many, many different things that I want to get across to you. One of which is some people are going to go broke on this whole thing, right? Now, by the way, if you don't have a Fannie Mae mortgage, which my mortgages are not Fannie Mae mortgages. That's not because I hate Fannie Mae mortgages. I just don't happen to have a bunch of life insurance loans. Then the no eviction policy doesn't come into effect. However, all the courthouses are closed. So you can't evict anybody even if you wanted to. So, again, this whole thing is on hold for 120 days. The president put a moratorium on evictions for 120 days. The courthouses aren't going to open back up until people are not getting sick, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, look at this thing realistically. We got at least 2 more months of no income coming in, right? But what I have for you is I have a guy, one of our guys at Lifestyles here, did a survey on what percentage of rent is collected. Now, you realize when they lend you money on a loan, they give you, you have to stay in line with the debt-to-income ratio, anything from 125 to 135 to 150, meaning they'll lend you 75%, between 50 and 75% of what your income is. That's how much debt you can put on the property. That's how much debt service you can carry. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you make as an individual. It's not your paycheck, your W-2 income. It's what the property does. So it's very important when you see that as these people stop paying, we are going to be breaking our debt coverage ratios that are a part of our loan documents. And hence, people are going to go out of business. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. In this last segment here, I want to go over this survey that we did on apartment owners. 100 apartment owners were surveyed, and we got 99 responses back, and they basically said this. The question is, what percentage of average monthly income have you collected as of April 4th, right? So the way rents are due, they're due on the 1st. In most places, they're late by the 3rd. And if you don't pay by the 10th, we evict you. That's pretty much the process in the apartment industry. Slight variations from person to person. But the bottom line is most rent is in by the 5th. I mean, probably 99% of it every month is in by the 5th. So the results we found from these 99 people that were polled, 97 responses. It says 97, 99, so we got two different. There's four questions, five questions. So there's a different number of responses for each question. So the bottom line is this. This is what's interesting. Of all 100 people, we found that 24 of the 100 people have 90% or greater of their rent in. So that means they're basically hardly affected. 18 of the 100 people have between 80 and 90% of their rent in. 22 people have between 70 and 80% of their rent in. And 19 people have between 60 and 70% of their rent. So the break-even number is somewhere between 70 and 80% is the break-even number. So meaning if you don't collect that, you're not going to be able to cover your bills, right? So we're talking about 24 and 18, which would be 34, 42, 44. 66% of the people have collected at least 70%. 66%. Now, we've also got a situation, though, where 45, we've got 50-some percent of people here that have not collected even 70%. And what's really scary, and this is what I want you to understand, how different people that do real estate are, is that there's actually two people that have collected less than 10% of the rent. I don't understand. There's actually three people that have collected less than 20% of the rent. One person that collected less than 30% of the rent. So what are these people going to do? What are they going to do if they're not even collecting 10% of the rent, 20%, 30% of the rent? And what are they doing or what have they done to get into that position? Right? What have they done to get into that position as a landlord? Not screen their tenants? Put purple Martians in? What's a purple Martian? A purple Martian is that person that you see on TV and know that person is not a normal human being. They just do not have any morals. They have no values. They'd rip you off. They'd steal from you. They'd destroy your house. And you know them. They're out there. Doesn't matter what your politically correct people want to say. They exist. They're purple Martians. I call them purple Martians because, one, they come in all colors. And purple's the only color you wouldn't be discriminating against unless you're just holding your breath and you're purple. Then there might be a discrimination case there. And the other one is the Martians, which means they've come from nowhere we know. It's not a nationality problem. It is just a weird person problem. So you fill your place up with purple Martians, they're not going to pay you. We know that. You know that. I've taught you that, right? So I'm looking at my phone here, and I get an email. And I'm not going to go into it all right now because I haven't had time to parse out exactly what the guy's saying and what he's trying to point, he's trying to prove. But he's telling me right in the email, hey, unlike you, I don't agree with you. I work in my business, not on my business. Okay, and I'm in there kicking away and fighting and whatever, and I'm saying, okay, that's not what I told him. He admits it. I know that's not what you taught us to do, but I'm in there working like a dog in my business, and we're not collecting rent. We got one guy who hasn't paid us for 5 months, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, the COVID virus problem's been here for a month. You've got a guy who hasn't paid you for 5 months, and now you're complaining to the government saying you can't evict him now, and so now the guy's going to get another 3 months free, maybe more. And what I'm saying, without using this guy's name, without analyzing this, I don't even know who this guy is. I hadn't paid attention to who he is. I don't want to, because I just wanted to make the comment that he already admitted to. He's not doing what I taught him to do. Right? And he's going to be one of these five people here, six people here, that have collected less than 30% of the rent. And they're going to go broke. And when they go broke, who are they going to blame? Are they going to blame me for teaching them how to do real estate when everybody else survived and they didn't because they didn't follow the program? Are they going to blame the government? Because that's already in that email that he's blaming the government for shutting down his ability to evict people when, you know, he already had bad people. He probably had eviction problems anyway. Who's he going to blame? Right? And his argument was the fact that I said, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, these payroll protection plans are not really for you. They're for your employees, not you. If you're an entrepreneur, you get paid off the profit. Well, he's saying, well, I don't. I take a salary because I work in my business. Well, what he doesn't understand about that is that working in his business means he's paying taxes on the income he earns, which is really dumb as a rock. And so, my friends, we get to the end of the day here and we just realize this. You know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make it drink. You can teach people to be entrepreneurs, but they might not actually become one. And just because you own a business doesn't mean you're an entrepreneur. You own a job. You don't own a company. You own a job. And if you stop doing that job, you stop having a company. So the only difference between owning your own business and not when you work in your business is just that. You own the job. You still have to work it. And that's not what this is all about. Remember, it's not about some money. It's about a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow.
for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.